You'll be so kind as to open your love letters to Matthew. We'll be in Matthew 5 today, Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24. Before we get started, I wanted to share something with you. With the downturn in the economy and all the laws that we have to deal with, we had a lady and her daughter came in the office and wanted to know if she said, "I want to apply for additional exemption for my mother." And I said, "That's not a problem." And lady came in with her daughter and she said, "I really don't know why I'm here." She said, "My daughter thinks I need help to keep my taxes on my homestead paid, and I keep telling my daughter I'm very wealthy, and she just doesn't seem to understand." And her daughter slapped me and said, "Oh, mother," and I, "Be quiet, don't start." She says, "No, Mr. Hollingsworth, tell my daughter that I'm quite wealthy." She said, "As a matter of fact, I've got a fortune." She said, "Mr. Hollingsworth, I've got silver in my hair, I've got gold in my teeth, stones in my kidneys, and I've got a lot of gas in my stomach, and that's all you need." Now, what does that have to do with the Word of God? Nothing. But I wanted to make sure you were here. So, if you'll be so kind as to stand in reverence to the infallible, inerrant Word of God and open your love letters to Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24. Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24, we find these words that were given to us by the Son of God, by your Savior and my Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, "Therefore, if thou," and if you see "thou," you put your name there. If Dennis, you're bringing your gift to the altar, and there you remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift, leave it before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Heavenly Father, I ask for your power as we've never seen before. We stand in agreement that you're all powerful. We stand in agreement that you love us beyond anything that our flesh and our imagination can conceive. And because of that, you've given us instructions. You've given us your love letters. You've instructed us in ways to have a closer relationship with you. So this morning, Heavenly Father, as we open your word, may your power remove in each one of our hearts and minds anything that would hinder us from allowing you to deal with each one of us individually, so that when we come together as brothers and sisters to lift up praises, to honor you, to bring our gifts to your altar, to the foot of your altar, that Heavenly Father, we'll be a different people. We'll examine our lives. We will come as high priests, as you've told us. You've called us to be your high priest. You've called us to be holy and acceptable into your eyes. And Heavenly Father, may your Holy Spirit take us by the hand and walk through the portals of our heart this morning, so that we make sure when we meet together in an assembly of Jesus Christ, the Church of Christ, the Church of the 21st century, the Church that's waiting on Christ to split the eastern sky back, that we come acceptable in your sight. We love you and thank you for all you've done, all that you're going to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, we pray these. Amen. Please be seated. Let me ask you this morning, have you come prepared to God's house? Have you come to offer your sacrifice and gift to Him? What is your sacrifice? If you'll be so kind as to open to Romans 12:1, you'll find this. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service." That's just the way we're supposed to treat God and treat our bodies. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So this morning, as we have come, He plainly has told us that we are to come bringing our bodies, our life, as living sacrifices before the altar of God, so that He can communicate with us, we can communicate with Him, we can tell a lost and a dying world and a darkened world that there is hope, that there is light, that there is a God who is crazy about them. That is the way we should find ourselves coming this morning. But I stop right there and ask, are you prepared this morning? Have you come to God's house clean and closed, prayed up, ready to go up? Therefore, have you prepared yourself for the worship and service today in the presence of a God, realizing that He is holy, realizing that He is God Almighty, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. You see, it's easy, it's very easy to imagine that we will get to a place where we are complete and ready, but preparation is not suddenly accomplished. Preparation is a process that's steadily maintained. Preparation to approach God is a perpetual process that never is fully achieved. It is dangerous to get into a settled state of experience. It is preparation and preparation and preparation. So I ask you, are you prepared to meet God this morning? Do we have the right mind? Do we come and pray on the way to church, God, I want to come with clean hands and a pure heart. God, I want to meet you. God, I don't want to be the same this next week as I have been this past week. God, I'm expecting the eastern sky to roll back, and I want your will in my life. And to do that, I've got to be right with you. I've got to be obedient to you. Do we really do that? You know, the last couple of weeks or months, Brother David's been in John 19 and attempting to get us to see, attempting to get me, I can only speak to myself, again, attempting to get me through the power of the Word, using the man of God to see the reality of Dennis's sinful nature. So we question how, and part of the series, we sit there and we sit there mute, and in our minds and hearts we question, how did the scribes and Pharisees, the soldiers and the mob of people who witnessed, visually saw the agony of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords taking on my sins, taking on your sins, and then we sit in a sanitized, callous, casual environment and we seem unmoved. We seem calloused. We seen that it was a story years ago. And it applies to us today. When are we going to get serious about our relationship with Jesus Christ? You see, it's dangerous to get into a settled state of experience. And the very people we see in John 19 who crucified our Lord, they were settled in their religious experience. And they couldn't get out of their comfort zones to see that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords had come to set them free. My goodness, we're doing the very same thing in the 21st century. So I question, where is the power of God? Why is America becoming weak when America was founded under one God, one nation under one God? Because we have become religious and calloused. Because we don't see ourselves as the sinners who nailed Him to the cross as we see in 19. When are we going to wake up? When are we going to get out of our comfort zones? When are we going to really get real with God? Don't you think it's time? Don't you think it's time that this church, that Calvary Baptist, if he could take 12 men and some of the 12 men, as you know, were not that dedicated to Him. If He can take 12 men, He can take a church in St. Augustine, Florida, and start the greatest revival America needs. Not that America wants. America really doesn't know what they want unless they're in Jesus Christ. But I ask you and challenge you this morning, through the authority of the blood of Christ, have you come this morning prepared? Are you serious about your worship time? Have you confessed your sins and come expecting and praying the power of God in your life to manifest Himself more each week? Or have you come with your own agenda, your own attitude, your own sinfulness, your own casualness, your own callous self towards spiritual things, and you want God to bless you? God help us. You see, I fear the 21st century church, Christian church, is losing its power, not because God's power is diminishing. Listen, God's power, God's purpose, God's plan will never be accomplished with or without us. God's going to accomplish His plan. God's going to have His will. But We are much like those who were present and participated in the death of Christ, as we've been seeing in John 19. They were so much caught up in their religious routine and own lives, they wouldn't let the Lord invade their lives. They couldn't and wouldn't see Christ for who He was, the Son of God. They refused to get out of their self-imposed comfort zones. Therefore, this morning, I challenge you again, have you come prepared to worship our Lord, or have you come into a sanitized environment to pacify your conscience, unprepared, ill-equipped, not realizing what He wants of you and asks of you? God help us. I'm afraid we've got into our religious routine. I'm afraid we've accepted Christ and we've just stopped there. I'm afraid that we've become callous. So I ask you and challenge you this morning, how have we come to where we find ourselves in our casual, calloused worship? Where have we come from? Although we are in the day of grace, we have missed so much and must be reminded of where we have come from. Join me this morning. Join me this morning as we see what our brothers and sisters from centuries past had to do to approach the temple of God, simply to come to church. You see, the original Old Testament covenant and worship experience was much different. Many of you will not come to church, and this is true, and I'm not picking on anyone because I am part of you. Many of us won't come to church if there's a forest fire and there's smoke, because we'll get smoke on our clothes. Many of us won't come if the weather looks a little windy or rainy or whatever. And so we kind of pick and choose if we're going to come, when we're going to come. Many will not drive 6 blocks or 6 miles. So why have we become so calloused and casual about our worship? We were too comfortable and we're selfish with our own comfort zones. So as I often share at work, even this past week, well, why do we do things like this? Why do you start with the title number over here and blah, blah, blah? Because we used to type thousands and millions of registrations and titles a year. That's why you don't appreciate what you have. So let's put the rubber to the road. We don't appreciate the fact that we are in the day of grace. We don't appreciate the fact that Christ was the ultimate sacrifice. We come into a sanitized environment and we think that God's going to bless us. You see, in days of old, our brothers and sisters couldn't come into the temple of God without the shofar horn blowing to say it's time to assemble. And as a matter of fact, I brought a conch shell home, and I was going to blow it and say that we were the Menorcan clan, and I was going to blow it in the back of the church and scare you. And one of the boys said, "I'll walk out, Daddy." But they used to wait for the ram's horn to be blown. And as the people in Jerusalem and as the people around the nation were coming to the temple, they would see the slaughter of the bull or the ram in the back. They would witness it. They would see the blood that was going to be shed for their sins. They witnessed that. And then the smell, the incense, because the incense was being offered to God. So you came into a smoke-filled environment. And as you walked up, you saw the entrails and the skin of the sacrifice being burnt on the side away from the temple. Do you get the picture? And then you saw the high priest. And by the way, the priest, before they became priests, the priest, after they became the priest and were consecrated and sacrificed, they would wash their hands and their feet to enter the temple. When they were becoming priests, they were publicly washed and exposed at the foot of the temple. Can you imagine? And I don't mean with a hose, with a spraying down. I mean, they were washed. Publicly naked at the foot of the temple to become priest. Let me ask you, what did the high priest, Jesus Christ, do for Dennis's sins? He publicly exposed them and he said, "No, Father, I'm going to cover him. I am the high priest." Do you understand what our forefathers had to go through to get into the environment to worship a holy God before the day of grace? Do you understand it? And then do you understand that the blood was being sprinkled as the priest walked in? The priests were sprinkled with blood. That you were sprinkled with blood. Do you know the covenant of the blood that you and I stand in today? Do you understand how serious it is to enter into a covenant of blood? And then he would come and he would pour the blood at the foot of the altar. And then he would take blood and put on the horn on the right side of the altar, and he'd put blood on the right ear, the right thumb, the right big toe, to emphasize that they would hear better, that they would work better, that they would walk better. And after all of this, then God would meet with them. Oh my goodness. What if we, and then they would take the sacrifice, and they would split it in half, and they would put half of it here, and half of it here, brother, and there would be blood everywhere. Then they'd walk, figure eight, the priest in the center, Dennis. Walk figure eight in the blood. Walk figure eight and stop in the middle of the two sides of the carcass. And they stopped in the middle, and the agreement with that, Dennis, if you don't get right and stay right, then what happened to the sacrifice will happen to you because the priest is sacrificing. What have we come to? Now we drive in air-conditioned vehicles. We come in nice, clean clothes. We don't have to look at the carcass being killed. The blood has already been applied. We're in the day of grace. We've applied the blood of the cross to our lives. And now we come in and we're just so calloused and casual and comfortable. And you see, when you bring thy gift to the altar, as we see in verse 23, therefore if thou, put your name there, bring thy gift to the altar. Let's just stop right there for one moment. Bring thy gift to the altar. Altar refers to any, this is interesting, to any type of altar or object where gifts may be placed and ritual observances carried out in honor of supernatural beings. Altars refer to the number of different types of altars, like the altar for burnt offering in the temple, the altar of incense, the altar from which Abraham built, and the heavenly altar mentioned in the book of Revelation, which we're looking forward to. This idea behind the ancient Hebrew word for altar is essentially, are you ready? This word in Hebrew for altar is, quote, killing place. The ancient altar, a place of death, was made holy and was consecrated to God. Like that ancient altar, the altar of the new covenant, was what? The cross of Jesus Christ. The killing place. Why? Because God is crazy about you. He loves you. That's why. God would sacrifice His Son because He says, I'm crazy about you. I can't get enough of you. I I don't think I'm going to have time to get there, but in the New Testament, the sweet aroma that God is waiting on, Brother David, are the prayers that you and I in the day of grace are lifting up to God Almighty, that sweet aroma to God. As an aroma from the burnt offering in the oak before Christ, before He had to give His Son for you and I. Do you understand the seriousness? And then we come in so callous and so casual and so comfortable and so much on our mind that we don't really meet God. Then the power of God's not in our midst. Then we live in a defeated life in a defeated world. And God's saying, but I've given it all to you anyway. Why don't you get right with me and let's make a difference in the world? Let's share with the lost souls about what I want to do, how I've saved them. And then we just come in, oh, I don't want to get out of my comfort zone. I'm too comfortable. And God's saying, I've got all eternity for you. You've got all that time to be comfortable. But the killing place, the ancient altar, a place of death, was made holy, was consecrated to God. Like that ancient altar, the altar of the new covenant, the cross, is transformed from a place of death. And this is beautiful. The old altar was a place of death. The new altar is a place of life. It's transformed from a place of death to a place set apart to bring life, the new life, where you personally agreed to die to self, to die to flesh, to be born again in the Spirit with Christ in a covenant, in a blood covenant. You and I have taken the covenant, the killing place of the cross of Jesus Christ, and we've applied the blood of Christ to us. That's an altar, was a cross. The blood was Christ. We've applied it to our life, and now, bless Pete, we don't act like we've got anything. Can you imagine the power of God in our midst if we know when we come on Sunday morning, there's no hindrance of the Holy Spirit in me because I've gone to every brother and sister and I've made sure when I come to offer my gift, and my gift is my life, a living sacrifice before a holy God. God, don't let there be any animosity between me. And if I even think, Brother David, if I even think that I've hurt someone's feelings, I go and apologize. Brother, can you imagine the power of God in our midst if we came the way He's instructed us to come? And the original worship experience, they were reminded of how vile, offensive, and sinful they were compared with the Holy God. And then we just come kind of casual, expecting Him to bless us. I don't understand it. God's promise or covenant with us is in bond and blood, His Son's blood. The ceremony for consecration, as I mentioned, required animals intended for sacrifice. Consecration couldn't happen without shedding sacrificial blood. And Aaron and his son shall put their hands on the head. And when they say they put their hands on the head, it wasn't just a casual putting their hands on the head and saying, God bless us and may our sins pass. They put their hands on the head and they prayed and they said, God, this is for the sins of me. This is for the sins of the people. Be with them. Pass this. We've got to get right with you. We've got to speak with you, God. We want to communicate with you. It was serious business. Oh, we still don't get it. Put some of the blood of the bull on the horns of the altar with your fingers, I've already showed you. And like these ancient priests, every believer can only be consecrated to God through the sacrifice. And our consecration should be greater because it was made through a far greater sacrifice. The sacrifice of God's Son, Jesus Christ. So when you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, you met Him at the altar, the killing place, and consecrated a bond in blood. Get serious about your bond in blood. After the priests put their hands on the head of the bull and they kill it, they would take its blood and sprinkle it all around the altar, wash it. The application of blood, you shall take some of its blood and put it, as I share with you, on the thumb and the ear. And this is interesting too. And I'm nothing against the music. I love the music in this church, brother. But some of the reading that I said, they had music, and they called the music originally noise. Do you know why they called the music noise? Because it helped the people coming to God's temple to worship. It helped them not hear the bleeding and the bang and the animals gurgling in their blood as the priest prepared them and sacrificed them. So do you see the picture that our brothers and sisters from years past had to go through to come to worship God? And in the day of grace, we accept Jesus Christ. We meet Him at the killing place, the cross. We apply the blood of Christ to our lives. And then we act like, God, forgive us. We act like we've been to Walmart or Kmart. It's no big deal. And God's still crazy about it. I don't understand that kind of love, do you? Thank God, sister, that He's a patient, long-suffering God. Amen. My goodness. The Old Testament, the priests would offer an animal and sacrifice. What do believers offer today? And just as the altars of the old had, and I like this, as the altars of the old had two flesh hooks to keep the sacrifice from slipping off. Because can you imagine the sacrifice from slipping off with all the blood and all the gore? And they had hooks to keep the sacrifices from slipping off. You and I have two hooks that hold our bodies there. We're the living sacrifices. And the two hooks that hold our bodies so that we can be used of the high priest, Jesus Christ, is discipline and devotion. I love that. Because if we're disciplined and we devote our lives to Christ, then that creates obedience. And God can use our obedience. So are you disciplining yourself and devoting yourself as a living sacrifice to the glory of God? In the Old Testament, the priest would burn incense as a fragrant offering to the Lord. What do we do today? Our prayer should be the incense. We find that in Hebrews 13:15 says, we continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Our incense of praise should be going up out of our bodies daily as we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. Let me ask you, the Spirit of God dwelling in you, Let me ask you, is your life a living temple? Let me ask you, did you come this morning realizing that your life is a sacrifice to a holy God? Did you come confessed up and made up and prayed up? Did you come with some animosity? Did you come with your own personal agenda? Did you come realizing that you had offended someone this past week? You see, it's easy to go, if you slap me down and I go and say, I forgive you, that's easy, isn't it? But if I offend you just by an attitude, just by something that I've said, then can I offer my gift at the altar? Absolutely not. And you know, this is the only time I believe that we read in the Bible where God says you can leave church early. If you come and make your offering and you remember, uh-oh, I've made a mistake, brother, and I offended someone. God says, I'd rather have you get it right with that brother before you stay in church with me. Because you staying in church with me and you've offended a brother is not going to cut it. Because I'm not going to have fellowship with you. Whoo! That's basically what he's saying. And this is interesting too. As Samuel recorded in his address to the disobedient King Saul. Remember this in 1 Samuel? I love this. I just love this. This really fits home. In 1 Samuel... 1 Samuel 15:22, as Samuel recorded in his address to the disobedient King Saul, who had offered to the Lord sacrifices that were to have been destroyed, Samuel said, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as what? Now we're going back to where our brothers and sisters in days of old, in ancient years, said, listen, does God want your offerings and your sacrifices? No. He would rather have sacrifices than obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better. To obey God is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Wow. We see that in 1 Samuel 15:22. And then again over in Psalms 51 with King David. David was motivated by his sins of adultery and murder, records a similar train of thought. For thou hast not delighted in sacrifice. That's the sacrifice again, the burnt offerings, the days of old. Otherwise I would give it. Thou art not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are what? Are what? And you need to mark this down, because the sacrifices of God for us in the day of grace, the sacrifice of God for David at that time, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. David said, else I would kill thousands of rams and bulls and offer them up, Lord. But I know that's not the right sacrifice. I know that's not what you're looking for, God. Thou delightest not in the burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken spirit. When was the last time your spirit was broken? A broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, oh God, thou wilt not despise. Wow. Wow. How many of us have come to God with a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart? The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, and when the heart mourns for sin, thou art better pleased than when bullock bleeds beneath the axe. Wow. Can you imagine that? God says, Dennis, in the day of grace, and all the blood, and all the animals, and all the bang, and all the gurgling of blood compares nothing, Dennis, with your broken heart when you get it right with those you've offended. That's what God's saying to us today. Y'all, we have no rights. You see, when we met Him at the killing place at the cross, I said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And there's nothing I can do about my sins. But you can deal with my sins because you died on the cross. And that blood was applied to Dennis. Can you say that? So then can you say the blood, the sacrifice? I'm in the day of grace. Your son, his blood covered me. And now I'm in the day of grace. So God, now I need to make sure I keep a tender heart. You see, and it's similar to the day of grace that we're in. We're spoiled rotten. As I say, Americans are spoiled rotten. We've got so much going on, so much spiritual warfare. We have been so spoon-fed. We don't know. We don't know what we believe in. It's a little aggravating. But let me ask you, the Spirit of God, if you want a broken and contrite heart, let me ask you, how close have you been walking with God? Have you met Him at the entrance and asked Him to show you, reveal to you? God, reveal to me before I go to your house. I don't want to be a hindrance to your Holy Spirit. I want the power of God in the church when Brother David preaches. I want the power of God in my life so I can be obedient. And then we walk through the back doors. And if we haven't been spending time with God, if we have not, if we've neglected, if we've fed the flesh and we haven't fed the Spirit and we're not walking in the Spirit because we were at the killing place, at the altar, applied the blood, but now we've walked away. And the power of God, when we walk in, has been removed because the calluses in Dennis's life. Then Dennis walks through the church and it's kind of like going on a flight in the metal detectors, you know, you have to, you know, the beep beep and they scan you and they do all that. And they still, people can sneak stuff in. Well, the Spirit of God, you know, it would be nice one day if He showed up the back door. Just canvas the back door. And Dennis walks through, beep! You can't go in, son. You've offended someone. You have not got it right. You've offended your family with your attitude. You've offended your wife. You better just go. You better go make things right. Come back. Oh, you remember that person at work? You just had a. You told them what you really thought about them. You didn't pray about them. You told them about where they came from. You know. Beep. Wouldn't it be nice if we had that? Wouldn't it? You see, that what we're reading and where we're studying and how we've taken ourselves back and now we see what they had to go through and how casual we can be with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the day of grace. You see, and therefore you and I can come and we can dress up real good and we can sit next to family members and next to friends that we really have offended. That we have no business walking through the back door without. You know, you walk through the back door. You're offering your sacrifices to God. You bring yourself as a living sacrifice before His altar. But we become so callous when the Holy Spirit, the spiritual detector, goes off. We are so calloused. We don't know when it goes off anymore and when it doesn't. God help us. Do you understand the severity? Do you understand the sincerity? Do you understand where we should find ourselves in the 21st century? Wanting the power of God in our life. And the power of God can't come in our lives because we don't understand what it means to have a broken heart. You see, and something else interesting about a broken heart, when God gets a hold of your heart and He breaks it, it reminds me of a rosebud. God made you. God loves you. God's saying, Dennis, you're that rosebud that I want to pick. But right now I can't pick you until you're a new bud because you've been callous. You've been stained with sin. You haven't come pure. You need to get it right with me. You need to get a broken heart. When you and I come to God's altar with a broken heart, we're like that rose that has opened up. And now that rose, because of the callousness, because we're not being sensitive to the spiritual things of God, that rose starts wilting and falling, and God just takes that rose and says, and the petals fall. And we get it right, and God squeezes our heart. It's that sweet perfume that God says, oh, my brother, oh, my son, you have got it right. Your heart is broken. I've squeezed it. I've smelled the perfume of your prayers coming up. You've got a broken heart, a contrite spirit. Let's have fellowship, me and you. Let me show you what I've got planned. Let me show you the neighbors I want you to witness to. Let me show you the people at work I want you to witness to. That's when God can start working. So let me ask you, have you come to church today? Jesus' point is that anger and hatred affect our relationship to God. And as long as there is internal sin, outward acts of worship are not acceptable to God. Reconciliation must precede worship. So settle the breach between you and your brothers and sisters. You see, true worship is not enhanced by better music. True worship is not enhanced by better prayers, by better architect of a building, or even better preaching. Don't tell Brother David that. But true worship is enhanced by better relationships between those who come to worship and worship may be improved by our staying away from church until we have made things right with those with whom we know our relationship is strained or broken. So when there is animosity or sin of any sort in our heart, there cannot be integrity in our worship. So don't hinder the moving of the Holy Spirit through coming to God's house unprepared. So let me ask you, did you come prepared today to meet a holy God? Has God revealed to you people, incidences, words that you've said that you need to make right? You see, I really fear that the power of God in our life, in my life, is diminished because I'm not sensitive to the way I come across, because I'm not sensitive when I have animosity with someone. I let it go, and the power of God keeps dwindling away in our lives. Max Lucado said, as far as he knows, and I like this also, he says, as far as he knows, that's the only time God tells you to get up and get out of church, get it right before you come back. God would rather have you give your olive branch than your tithes to Him. Give your olive branch to your brother. The point is not to assign blame, but to make the situation right. It doesn't matter who's right or who's wrong. The point is to settle the matters in the name of Jesus Christ. So before you walk to Him, He wants you to be at peace with them. And we find reference to that in Matthew 5, 23 and 24. So Jesus envisions a person going to worship, and He sees that person has a gift to give. Perhaps it's a tithe, a song, or an act of service. And on the way to offer the gift, the person remembers an unresolved conflict. He thinks of a neighbor he's offended, or a spouse, or a relative. The worshiper has nothing against that person, but the person has something against the worshiper. And Jesus instructs you and I as worshipers that we need to make it clear. Before you come to my house, go to His house. Before you give me a gift, give them an apology. Before you give me a tithe, give your neighbor an olive branch. Harmony is a cherished idea in God's house. God delights in a broken and contrite heart. Obeying is better than sacrifice. So in closing, let me ask you, can you imagine, as I have already asked you, can you imagine what the church and the world would be like if we took this command seriously, this one command? Can you imagine the power in the church with God's people if they took this seriously? What if we determined to be at peace before we sit in the pews next Sunday? The phone lines would start humming on Saturday night. Sorry to call so late. But tomorrow, I want to worship with a clean conscience, and I want to come to God's throne holy. Wouldn't that be preaching to some of our relatives? Sorry to call, but I know I was rude to you this week. Could we talk about it? And it's hard to deeply worship your Father when you've been unkind to His children or when you don't like His kids. The Apostle John says it's impossible to worship in this state of mind. That's in 1 John 4:20. So if people say they love God but hate their brothers and sisters, they're liars. That's just point blank. They're liars. Those who do not love their brothers and sisters whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. So the thing the Holy Spirit is detecting in you is the disposition, and God knows your attitude. God knows your mind. God help us. Did you come to God's house today ready to meet Him, to have the power of God in your life? Did you come casual? Did you come with an agenda? Did you come expecting to meet God, ready to be obedient this next week? It's all up to us individually. But as we come more prepared, as we come equipped to meet a holy God, we're going to start seeing the power of God grab us individually and grab us as a people, as a church, and we'll see the power of God start moving in great and mighty ways. So God, help us to come to your altar, to your temple and church as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable in your power, and may your power fall on us. So God, teach us to come prepared. Heavenly Father, with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, take us and teach us to come to you, and so that you are pleased and your power can be released on us, so that we as your children can be used by you. Show us, Lord, where we have failed and sinned against a brother. Give us courage to confess our faults to one another. The only way to make things right is to admit that you've been wrong. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these words. I thank You for this time. Heavenly Father, please may everyone understand it's nothing of me, but it's all of You. And I pray that they be allow You to be real with them. I pray, Heavenly Father, in a great and a mighty way that there will be a revival in our midst. I pray that people will get right with You. I pray that, Heavenly Father, next time we come to church, whether it's Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, that, Heavenly Father, we realize that we are the living sacrifices to a holy God. That, Heavenly Father, at one time in our life, that we met You at the killing place, at the cross, at the altar. That, Heavenly Father, the blood of Christ, the high priest, was applied. That we have a covenant. That we have, that Heavenly Father, we have made a covenant in blood with You for all eternity. So, Heavenly Father, if we can identify and say we've done that, may You change us. May You make us more conscious when we come to church. More conscious of ourself, more conscious of getting self out of the way, more conscious of coming with a broken heart and a broken and contrite spirit. But then, Heavenly Father, out there, there are those here who could care less. There are those here, Heavenly Father, within the sound of my voice, who perhaps have never met Christ at the killing place, at the cross. Who perhaps, Heavenly Father, all of this is nonsense. Who perhaps, Heavenly Father, could care less about being prepared to come to a holy place to meet a holy God who loves them. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that if there's one here in our midst who does not know You, that they will today not leave without asking Jesus Christ into their heart and life. And then, Heavenly Father, for those of us who know You, who are spoiled, who have been coming casually in our comfort zones, may You move in such a great and mighty way that we'll get out of our comfort zones, that we'll make things right, Heavenly Father, most of all, that we will be obedient to You in our communication, in our walk, in our talk, so that great and mighty things can be done through us because we've been called high priests. We are to die to self, Heavenly Father, and allow Your Holy Spirit to work through us. We love You and thank You for all You're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray.